Ruth chapter 3, look in verse 12 of Ruth 3. Remember last week, now we're just continuing on from last week, verse 12. And that is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part, but if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord lives, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by unto him, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 2 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, and I may know that there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Look in verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must also buy of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Verse 6. And he said, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou that my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Let's stop right there. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for each one that's made their way out to your house this evening. We pray for our children next door. We pray for the leaders. We know there are several that are not here for various and different reasons. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to help us now as we open up your Bible, your precious Word of God, and finish up this study in the book of Ruth. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. One of the great hymn writers wrote a song in 1876 that says, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love for me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse he set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Before us in this book is a wonderful illustration of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, and how he paid the debt to make us free. This is the story of Boaz as the kinsman redeemer, redeeming Ruth. And we're going to go through and see this tonight. The first thing I want to look at is the request for redemption. We've talked about it, and this is the only time in the entire Word of God where we have an actual account of somebody being a kinsman redeemer. But we see that she's asking for redemption. Over in chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, it says, and she went down unto the floor and did according to all her mother-in-law had bade her. Remember, Naomi told her to do these certain things. And when Boaz had eaten, drunk, his heart was merry, he went down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. She said to him, for thou art a near kinsman. She recognized Boaz as a kinsman redeemer and requested that he be her kinsman redeemer. Her actions were very customary in this day. We talked about that last week. And it was very customary. In verse 11, Boaz responded to her, "And now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do to thee all that thou requires. For all the city of my people does know that thou art a virtuous woman." All she had to do was ask. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All we have to do is ask. All that she had to do was ask. Salvation on our part is asking. John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So she asked. We also see assured of the redemption. In Ruth 3:13, he said unto her, he made her a promise. He said, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman, and the Lord, as the Lord lives, lie down until the morning." He assured her. He made her a promise. You know, I've heard people say this, "Preacher, I'm just trying to do the best I can, and I hope that's enough." Wrong, 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 wrong thinking. We can never be enough. That's still some of that mentality from years gone by. We can never be enough. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do all of these things to get into heaven. That's not the good way that we need to. We don't need to be that way. Listen to what it is. Salvation is not based on what we do. It's based on what he's done. Amen. I'm just doing the best I can. I'd hate to think my salvation is based on me, because I'm no good. I'm no good. And I hate to tell y'all, because I love y'all, but y'all are no good either. If it was based on what we do, we'd been a mess. But salvation's based on what he's already done. We're talking about Ruth and redemption. She was assured of the redemption. She was assured of it. The song says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." See, she was assured of redemption, but she was also assured of this redemption by his provision. In verse 15 of chapter 3, "And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured out 6 measures of barley, and he laid it on her, and she went into the city." That's 24 gallons or 88 pounds of barley. He said, "I will redeem you, and here's a small token to prove that." So she laid her veil out, and he put all of this barley in this veil. Can you picture Ruth? I don't think she's a big woman. I think she's a small woman. And I can see her walking through town with a whole pile of barley. You know what? The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to bless you. You don't have to get up tomorrow and say, "Well, I sure hope the Lord bless." No, he wants to bless you. You know why? Because you are his child. I am his child. Are y'all with me tonight? Boaz gave this promise to her, this provision to her, that he would redeem her. Number 2, the requirements for redemption. Now, in order for Boaz to become Ruth's redeemer, there were some requirements. First, there was some business that had to be taken care of. First of all, I want to look at the word worthy. And what I mean by worthy is meeting certain qualifications. For one thing, had to be a relative. I read this last week, Leviticus 25:25. "If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold." Boaz met that qualification back in chapter 2, 19 and 20. "And her mother-in-law," this is Naomi speaking, "said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today?" Remember when she went to the field And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with him whom she had wrought, and said, this man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin to us and one of our next kinsmen. Let's get this right here for us today. She walked up to this field and just went in and started gleaning. She had no idea whose field that belonged to. When she got to the field and when she came home, she said, Naomi said, where have you been? What have you been doing? I've been gleaning in the field of this man's name, Boaz. And I wonder what Naomi thought. Because remember, early in the book, Naomi had lost her two sons and her husband, and she was bitter. She was bitter. And they came back during the middle of harvest. Who does stuff like that? God. God puts us where he wants us, but he's going to make sure that we get the blessings we get. Are y'all with me tonight? So here we are. And she said, that Boaz, he's a near kinsman. Do you believe in coincidences? I do not. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe God puts us where he wants us, doing what he wants us to do. And if we'll obey him, follow his will, stuff like this happens. How many of you can say something like this has happened to you? And I'm not saying a field and picking flowers or gleaning. I'm talking about that time when you just did something God told you to do and God blessed you. Out of nowhere, God blessed you. That's what God does. We see that Boaz had to be worthy. Boaz was a near kinsman. Jesus met this qualification in John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of his Father, full of grace. I'm glad that Jesus did that for us, aren't you? Not only did the Redeemer have to be a relative, but he had to have the resources. In chapter 2 and verse 1, and Naomi had of a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. He was a man that had the wealth. He was a man that was able to redeem. Jesus, thank God, was able to redeem. Ephesians 3:20, I use it a lot. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He was more than able. He was a relative. He had the resources. He had all the things he needed to do. Now, he also had to be willing. In chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we read those verses. It says in verse 3, and he said unto the kinsman Naomi, or he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that has come again out of the country of Moab sells a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, and I may know that there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And that fellow said, I will redeem it. Okay, now, let's think for a minute. He had to be willing. And Boaz told him this situation, told him what was going on, and that guy said, okay, I'll buy the land. I'll redeem it. Boaz was a near kinsman, but this guy was even nearer. Boaz said that he would redeem it, but this guy said he would redeem it. You think, wait a minute, what in the world's going on here? Look in the verse it says in verses 1 and 2. Boaz went up to the gate, sat down there. And behold, of whom Boaz spake came by unto him and said, hold such a one. That's a very interesting way to talk to somebody. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took the men of elders of the city and sit you down here. And they sat down. And he explained all of this stuff to them that we've been talking about. Boaz waited until the nearer kinsman passed by and he hollered at him. In our terminology, he said, hey, buddy, come here. If he said, hold such a one out here somewhere, they would think he was crazy. He probably said, "Hey, buddy, come here a minute. Come here a minute. I want to talk at you. I want to talk to you just a minute." So Boaz talked to him, and he explained the verses 3 and 4 that we just read. Boaz told him the situation, and that guy said, "Sure, I'll redeem it." Now, I believe Ruth was listening to this conversation. Now, just go with me on this. When he said, "I'll redeem it," I bet Ruth's heart fell out. No, no, that's not what I want. I want Boaz. But see, Boaz was a smart man. Boaz was a very smart man because Boaz had kind of something up his sleeve. He had something else to say because I'm sure Ruth and Naomi's heart sank. But look at verse 5. "Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. By the way, buddy, if you buy the land, you got to marry Ruth." Well, that fella changed his tune. Look in verse 6. "And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." That opened the door for Boaz. So something else happened here. It's very interesting. Look in verse 7. "Now this was the matter in the former time of Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all the things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day, for I have bought all the land that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of this place you are witnesses this day." Boaz said, "I'll buy the land." Boaz said, "I'll marry Ruth." That terminology, buying her, don't make a whole lot out of that. Basically, he's saying, "I'm going to marry her. This is going to be my wife. This is going to be my bride." Boaz said to her, now, I don't know about the passing of the shoe. I don't know why that was just something they did. That was just something they did. There's really no explanation there other than that was something they did in that time frame. So Boaz was able to do that. We see the results of redemption. We see two things that resulted from Boaz's becoming Ruth's kinsman redeemer. First of all, the position of the saints is established. In verse 11, it says, "And all the people that were in the gate and all the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel unto Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrath, and be famous in Bethlehem." She no longer was called the Moabitess. She was now called a woman. You can go through the book and you can see several times she's called the Moabitess, but now she's called a woman. What happened? There's a change that took place in her life. There was a change that took place in her life. She has a new position. Redemption takes the outcast and makes them part of God's family. It made the sinner a saint. I'm thankful that when you and I got saved, something happened. Something changed in our life, and we became Christians. We became one of his own. We see the praise of the Savior is also expressed. In verse 11, it says, "And do thou worthily in Ephrath, and be famous in Bethlehem." Basically, he says, may you be praised for what you've done. When we stop and think about what Jesus has done for us, it should make us want to sing. It should make us want to shout. Now, I want you to keep looking in the remainder of this chapter. Y'all still with me? All right, hang on. We're about through. Look there in verse number 12. "And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loves thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it on her bosom and became nurse unto it. Now keep looking down in verse 17. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. You can go on down, read the rest of those big old long names, but look in verse 22. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Yes, that's King David. Think for a second. Ruth, when we open up the first of the book, she just lost her husband. No hope. Hope was gone. Hope was over. It wasn't going to happen. It was Naomi. It was Ruth. It was Orpah. Orpah went back. She said, I'm out of here. But Ruth said to Naomi, she clave unto her. She said, I'm going with you. So here they go back to the place of plenty, back to this bountiful harvest. And then we see this come to part to place of Boaz being the kinsman redeemer. And then she had a child who was the great grandpa of David. Did I say that great grandpa? Yeah, that's right. I did good. Think about that for a second. That just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen for somebody like Ruth to be in the lineage of David. Doesn't that excite you? That's God. That's God. This little book, I think it's less than 100 verses. But just think of the impact this one woman had on what we know as the Word of God and David. She beget, and then that one beget, and then we have David. Let that sink in for just a second. Let that sink in that the Lord did this. You see, when we get in the way, if she'd have gotten in the way and went back to Moab, this wouldn't have happened. You know what's better than anything we can do for the Lord? It's obedience. We were talking about this today, some of us. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Minding what God tells you to do is better than anything that you can do. It's better than any message that's preached, any song that's sung. Obedience. Here's the thing about obedience. Everybody can obey. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your health. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter how much you have or what you don't have. Everybody can obey God. And you see, God had this plan long before Ruth and Naomi came to town. He had a plan. He knew what was going to happen. He had Boaz there. Because remember, Boaz was at the field the day she came, and that was not normal. Boaz wasn't always at the field every day, but he was at the field. And Boaz caught a glimpse of Ruth, and what did he tell the fellas? Leave her alone. Don't touch her. He had no idea what was happening, but as it played out, you could see the hand of God. Aren't you glad that God knows what we don't? Aren't you glad he can look in the future and see things that are going to happen? He can look in the future and see things. I was talking to a guy today at the funeral home, a guy that I hadn't seen in probably 25 years. And he come in, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we knew each other, and he knew my mom and dad. And he said, I hadn't seen him in 25 years. He said, you're down there at Middle Cross? I said, yes, I am. He said, I've heard good things. I said, keep talking, preacher. I like when people say stuff like that. Like I said, I hadn't seen him in 25 years. But God knows what's going to happen tomorrow for you. He knows what's going to happen Sunday. I've got a sermon prepared. It's a kind of a Mother's Day, kind of a not Mother's Day type sermon, but it's a sermon about Timothy's grandmother and mother. We're going to talk a little bit about heritage and home and different things. But, you know, between now and then, I may come up here and just preach the rapture. I don't know, whatever God has in mind. But there'll be people here Sunday that will be specifically here that day for that sermon. There's been many times, it probably happened to you, Daryl. God put somebody on your mind. God put somebody on your mind. I remember at our last church, God had put this family on my mind, and I had worked for 2 or 3 weeks on this specific sermon. Went to preach it that Sunday morning, and they were not there. And I thought, well, they missed it. Because God had a direct word for them. So what I'm saying, don't miss. You never know when God may send me an email and says, hey, Shirley needs this one. Y'all with me tonight? Aren't you glad God sees what we don't? Aren't you glad for Ruth? And I'm thankful we made it through the end. I have, at 50 years old, if I have intention deficit disorder, I believe I have it. Long studies are rough for me. When I said I was going to go through the book of Acts, my wife laughed at me. She said, there is no way, Weaver, no way. I said, well, I'm already looking at how I'm splitting it up. I like splitting it up. And it's not that I get bored. It's just I kind of, I don't know, I like a challenge, I guess. So y'all pray, because normally what I do, before I ever preach a study, I prepare the whole thing. That's not what I'm going to do on Acts. When I'm ready, when we get ready, I'm going to maybe put 4 in the barrel and take off and see what happens. So y'all just pray for us. Don't know where we're headed on Wednesdays or Sundays. We're just going to follow the Lord. Probably do some different things. Maybe the fruit of the Spirit. I mentioned that. That's a good study. Maybe looking at that. So y'all just pray for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll go into our prayer time. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that I did justice to that wonderful book of Ruth. There's things in it that are hard to understand, because it's not our custom to talk about the threshing floor, to talk about the kinsman redeemer. That's just things that we really don't understand, because we don't have that in our society. But Lord, thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you for helping us get through this book. And I pray that we all learn something about this book, and that we can be more thankful to you, because you are our kinsman redeemer. You redeemed us, and we're thankful for what you did at Calvary. I pray that you'll bless now as we go into this time of prayer. I pray that you'll meet the needs that are going to be mentioned tonight and those that won't be. I pray that you just have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.